Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the regions along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John the Baptist saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not assume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there's two types of people in the world, right? That could go a lot of different ways. But I say those who arrive 10 minutes early and those who arrive 10 minutes late. My husband and I could not be more opposite than we are. David always shows up about 30 minutes early for everything, and I am notoriously 5 to 10 minutes late for everything. Ask my Tuesday morning Bible study, ladies. But on Monday night, David and I had to attend a meeting here at the church, and we were bringing our kiddos back with us, and they were going to be watched in the nursery. So it was at 7 o'clock, so I wasn't surprised. We got home, and David is just like trying to hurry us through dinner. And I'm kind of like, okay, you know, what are we doing? Like, we don't have to leave quite then. But at 6:20, David had everything packed in the car. And so I got to let him win sometimes. I just got in the car along with the kids. We got to the church around 6:30, and David looked frantic. He said, "Where's our babysitter?" And I said, "Well, she's going to be here at 6:50. For our 7 o'clock meeting." I thought that I was doing something really nice by giving in to David and getting here at 6:30. And he thought he was doing something nice because he thought the meeting was at 6:30. So most of the time, though, I wish I was more like my husband in the aspect of showing up early. But my concept of how long something takes is just really skewed. But this is why I love the season of Advent, because it makes you show up early for the story. Being prepared and early for the birth of Jesus is in our church calendar, and not just 30 minutes, 4 whole weeks early. We are in the second week of Advent, and we are introduced to the character of John the Baptist. And according to the theologian John Shea, this passage involves the good news of Jesus Christ's beginning before it begins. It is one of those moments when arriving early means that you're getting there right on time. Because Advent is the story about preparing for the story. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that John the Baptist is the fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah had been preaching about numerous years before. the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist gets there early because that was his job, and he had a lot of work to do to prepare the way for the one who eventually became the true way. But it's also important to remember John the Baptist's whole story and not just this one in the wilderness meeting today, because it isn't the first time that John the Baptist prepared the way. He had been preparing the way his entire life and even before he was born. We need to remember that John's father, Zechariah, was struck with silence for the whole time that John's mother, Elizabeth, was pregnant, because he was unable to believe that Elizabeth could be pregnant with John. They were just so old. John the Baptist, from day one, was preparing the way. It was also John the Baptist that leapt in his mother's womb when Elizabeth saw her cousin Mary right after the angel came to announce to Mary that she would be the one to bear the Messiah, God made flesh, Emmanuel. Elizabeth knew, because John in utero prepared her for this great news. And Elizabeth was able to give comfort and support to Mary. And so John the Baptist, of course, becomes the prophet in the wilderness, making a ruckus, crying out, making paths straight. And so a crowd begins to show up. Now, whether the crowd shows up because there's this wild guy shouting out in the wilderness, or whether the crowd really believed what John was saying, we'll never know. But a crowd was there, and they came from near and far. They came from the countryside and from the city to see this man. And they came and they were baptized and they told John all their secrets, and they believed that this was the story God had planned. This moment here in the wilderness with John the Baptist is the fulfillment, and now the work is done. But John the Baptist knows better. He is confident in what he is preparing these people for, and it's not him. So he chose to correct that line of thinking, and he says, "You think that this is the end? This, what I'm doing right here, you think that this is the end? You think that this is the power of God? Oh no, brothers and sisters, this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of the beginning. I come with water only, which can only clean the surface. But the one who is coming, the one who has the power of God, he will wash you with the Spirit. Refine your hearts from the inside out like fire purifies gold." And for a moment, the crowd thought that they had already seen the whole entire thing, but John shifted their thinking to say, "You've just arrived early." It is what John the Baptist did, prepare the way of the Lord. And he did this by preaching a message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. And now repentance in this sense is not that feeling of guilt about how horrible you are. But repentance is about changing your hearts and your minds. John the Baptist cries out, "Repent, change your heart, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near." And people came forward to confess their sins. It is an opportunity and an invitation to something brand new. Advent should not be an invitation for us to open up presents on Christmas. Advent should not be an invitation to eat ourselves silly. Advent should not be an invitation to be so busy that we lose ourselves and wake up sometime in January. Instead, Advent is a time and an invitation to change your whole self and to enter into a new life shaped by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. This is the joy and the hope of the season. It is a change in heart and mind to prepare for this amazing thing that is to come, the story. The amazing thing that God is taking on our human nature, our skin, our flesh, and our bones, and becomes one of us. And from that point on, we never walk alone again. This Advent here at St. John's, we are talking about what God, what we, and what you are yearning for. So what are we preparing the way for? What new thing is coming, yet it is so incredibly hard to wait for it to be realized? We know the brokenness of the world. It's all around us and it's in our faces every single day. The world right now is broken. It's not the way that it should be, but in Advent we get to say, it's not the way the world will always be either. Something new is coming, something we have been yearning for. Prepare, repent. The point is not to make Advent this cute little packaged thing that is about hope, love, peace, patience, but there's nothing behind it. The point of Advent is to strip down to the rawness of a wild man preaching a message in the wilderness. Something new is coming, something we have all been yearning for. Prepare and repent. Because in the true meaning of Advent, when these words of hope, love, peace, and joy show up, they mean something significant and deep. The hope that we have for a new world and a creation with no brokenness and sin. Joy for God, joy because God is still moving and active today, just as God was in the beginning of creation. And peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. One day, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard with the goat, the calf and the lion. People of all different races and ethnicities, the Democrats, the Republicans, hated enemies, the rich and the poor, all will be at peace. And it's wilder than we could ever imagine. And love. During the week of Thanksgiving, I went home to visit my family, and I drove my grandmother, who I call Nanny, to the airport. We got in late the previous night, and she had an early flight. My mom was helping out my sister with my nephew that morning, so it was between David and I to go and pick up my grandmother. I jumped at the chance because I wasn't going to get to see her any other time. So I got over to her place early, I might add, with enough time to look through the pictures that she had, the picture book she has of all of her great-grandchildren, like I didn't know my own kids. We hopped in the car, but there's never a shortage of things to talk about when you're around my nanny. As we drove away, she started to tell me about the condo next to her that went up for sale and her nervousness and anxiety around who was gonna move in next. And being the woman of faith that she is, naturally she prayed and prayed and prayed about it. She looked at me and she said, "You know, you never know what you're going to get next to you." Well, last week or 2 weeks previous of that, somebody bought that condo. It was a 75-year-old woman who had just lost her husband. My nanny felt as though her prayers had been answered, and she looked over at me in the car and she said, "You know, we're either going to be really good friends or we're going to be really good neighbors." And it took me back. She continued to talk and I just sat there and I thought about this statement that she had just said. And eventually I said, hold on. I love that. Right? Because my grandmother doesn't buy in to the concept that you're either friends or you're not. We are either going to be really good friends or we're going to be really good neighbors. I told her that I was going to use that quote one day in a sermon, and her response was, well, you better tell me so I can listen. So I'm pretty sure she's going to be listening this morning. I know that every single person yearns for something different. Every group of people yearns for something different. But I think at the bottom of it all, there are probably two major themes. We want the brokenness of the world, whatever that looks like to you, to go away. And we want peace. Peace between nations, peace between peoples, peace in our own hearts. And I'm going to guess that we all yearn for a world where it is a little less friend versus enemy and a lot more friends and neighbors. And just think, this Advent, if we could be friends and neighbors at its best, as the way God intended, wouldn't that be the perfect method to prepare the way for the Lord's coming? Let us pray. Gracious God, you sent prophets like John the Baptist to prepare the way for your love to come into this world. As you guided them, now guide us so that we can help usher in your kingdom on earth. Lord, whatever we are yearning for, let us be your hands and feet to accomplish what is not yet. In your name we pray. Amen.